Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 78th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. No guests this week, so no frills, only thrills. Let's dance the dance they dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Batgirl Returns, original air date November 12, 1994. Title card is this amazing drawing of Batgirl's silhouette swinging in on a robe being highlighted by the moon. It looks pretty darn rad, if you ask me. The episode starts at Gotham University, where there's a break-in at the exhibition hall, or just the museum. A statue that is shaped exactly like Catwoman's cat, Isis, is stolen. Batman swings onto the rooftop to stop the robbery, but suddenly he is taken out by a bolt of lightning. And it's the Penguin, and he's shooting electricity from his umbrella. Batman takes out his batarang, but it's knocked off his hand by a playing card. He turns around and sees Joker and Two-Face. Penguin, Joker, and Two-Face have Batman cornered when suddenly we hear a female voice say, "Hey, back off, creep." We pan over and we see Batgirl. She jumps into action and beats the ever-loving crap out of the villains. Batgirl saves Batman, and then they begin to make out. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this Batgirl-Batman romance thing that they've established, and not just here, but in other things, and... I'm just not a fan of it. I don't know. Robin's age. I think he's a little too old for her, but what do I know? Not like I could get myself a girl. Anyways, they're making out. Suddenly, Batman's face gets all distorted, and we hear Robin's voice coming out of it, yelling, "Barbara! Hey, Babs! Are you there?" We see Barbara Gordon, and she has fallen asleep while studying, so the whole thing was just a dream. Dick Grayson showed up at her window to invite her to eat some pizza, but she says she has to study and can't go. Now, I will mention this now. The animation is really great, but it's really weird. It's all rubbery and cartoony, and the characters just look off-model at times. But, you know, still, just the cartoon, the animation looks great, and it's one of the better animated episodes of the entire series, actually. It's just really weird. There's something off about it. Someone slides a newspaper under Barbara's door, and the headline is about the stolen cat statue. So I guess that part wasn't a dream, or did that happen days ago, and that's why she dreamt about it? Because if it happened that day, they already printed a newspaper article on it, so it's kind of weird. Barbara decides that maybe she does need a break from studying. We go to the university museum, where Catwoman is breaking in. Like, she's just there, she's just breaking in. She goes to inspect where the statue was located, but gets caught by Batgirl, who's also just there. Batgirl blames Catwoman, but Catwoman makes a good point. She says that someone used acid to eat through the locks and the alarm wires, and that is not her style, no finesse. Batgirl wants Catwoman to go to the police and tell her story, but Catwoman won't do it. The two are about to fight, but then Robin shows up.
One way or another, you're coming with me.
Bats are just mice with wings, little girl.
Robin!
Just came to investigate the robbery. I didn't expect a convention.
Catwoman runs away and Robin chases after her, as Batgirl tries to explain to him that Catwoman is innocent. Robin gets caught in a net thrown by Catwoman and she gets away. Robin and Batgirl have an argument about letting Catwoman get away. Robin leaves and Batgirl calls him a dork. I love it. The next day at school, Barbara is finishing her gymnast class when she spots a card shaped like a cat on the bulletin board. The card says, "To the Winged Mouse, Bayshore Pier tonight." So wait, does this mean Catwoman knows who Batgirl really is? I know that Bruce does. I'm not sure Robin does. And the Catwoman just figure, okay, if whoever Batgirl is, she's young enough to go to this school, and she's obviously acrobatic, so she must be on the gymnastics team, so I'm going to take a chance. Or did she plaster these all over the school, and maybe like a bunch of girls are just going to show up, or guys are just going to show up at the pier that night? Because a little bit of a spoiler, later on it's clear that Catwoman doesn't know who Batgirl is, but it's just, I find it weird that it was just there. So it's nighttime, and Batgirl meets Catwoman at the pier. Catwoman wants Batgirl to help her find out who stole the statue and capture them. Batgirl agrees, but only if Catwoman will turn herself in if she's lying to her. Catwoman agrees.
You're smart, and you're fast. I thought maybe you'd like to work together. After all, against the two of us, whoever took the Jade Cat doesn't stand a chance.
Okay. On one condition. If you're lying to me and I find out, you'll give yourself up. Deal.
Robin is talking to Bruce Wayne on the phone. Bruce is in France overlooking some sort of Wayne-Tech merger deal. He tells Robin to be careful because Catwoman likes to play mind games. And that is it. That's the closest we get to Batman in this episode. I mean, yeah, we saw him earlier, but that was a dream. And he didn't really do much except get beat up. Now, I have heard interviews where the creators wanted to do episodes without Batman, but the studio wouldn't allow them, so I guess this is the closest that we're going to get at this point. So putting him in a dream sequence and then this scene later on with Bruce, they could say they met their quota of Batman, I guess. Batgirl and Catwoman go to a bar called the Stack Deck, and I believe this is the same bar where Sid the Squid got into a bar fight, because we see a lot of the same biker guys from that episode. And also, it looks like the bar where all the villains were playing poker and almost got him. Like, really dark with just some tables highlighted by some lights. Some guy tries to pick up on Catwoman, but she beats him up with her whip. She walks over to, like, this weird, skinny-looking, nerdy dude. He's a scientist. Like, he's wearing the white coat. He's bald. He has the round glasses. He has, like, big rat-like teeth. He tries to run away, but he gets captured by Batgirl. Catwoman then lets us know who this scientist guy is.
This is from the Jade Cat job. Residue of the acid used on the locks.
That's nice. Why tell me?
They call you the chemist. You know every acid, explosive, and poison by its first name. Any idea where this was made?
Basic corrosive compound. Probably a local manufacturer like Axis, Phoenix, or...
The chemist gets scared when he realizes who that third option might be, and he runs away, and then this huge bar fight starts. Catwoman and Batgirl, like, they have a pretty cool fight scene as they beat up some of the thugs. The fight gets out of control, and Catwoman and Batgirl run outside and steal one of the bikers' motorcycles. They get chased by the cops, and they go up an unfinished bridge. Catwoman loses the cops by jumping the gap. Catwoman says the way the chemist freaked when he recognized the acid can only mean one person, an old friend of hers. And that's kind of more of a build-up than I thought, because I thought who it turned out to be was really disappointing. I mean, I know who it was because I've seen the episode, but when I first saw it, I was really expecting somebody else. At the bar, all the bikers are being arrested, and Robin watches from the distance. He overhears on the police radio that Catwoman and Batgirl were last seen jumping that bridge, and he goes after them. Catwoman and Batgirl show up at an abandoned factory, and Batgirl recognizes it as the old factory that made the chemical compound that turned Matt Hagen into Clayface. And then Catwoman also becomes an exposition waitress, and reminds us that it's owned by Roland Daggett, who last time we saw had poisoned her and her cat with some rabies or something. Inside, they find a safe, and they open it to find the stolen cat statue. Suddenly, the lights go on, and Roland Daggett and some thugs show up with guns, and they take the women hostage. Daggett ties them up and explains his plan. He stole the cat statue to frame Catwoman for the crime, and with the money that he's going to get from the statue, he will be able to start over, because he's now broke after Batman ruined his last plan, which was that stupid animal virus plan, if you remember. You know what? I don't even remember. I think it was like to infect animals with rabies, and then they would bite people and infect them, and he would have the only cure, which would cast suspicion on him immediately. Anyway, Batgirl notices Catwoman cutting through her robes with her nails, because she has like those sharp nails. Batgirl then asks Daggett if he's going to dangle them over some acid until the robes slowly burn. I love this part though. Daggett says no, he's going to shoot them and then throw their bodies in the acid. So that's good. Just as one of the thugs is about to shoot Batgirl, a batarang knocks the gun out of his hand, and then Robin swings in and knocks the guy down with a kick. So, I don't know, is it still a batarang when Robin throws it, or is it a birdarang? I know that there is such a thing as a birdarang, because it showed up in the movie Batman and Robin, and it's a boomerang type thing shaped like a bird instead of the bat. But, whatever. I'm going to call it a batarang, because birdarang is kind of hard to say, and it just sounds dumb. Yeah, because batarang sounds better. Batgirl then kicks the machine gun out of another thug and starts fighting him with her hands tied. Catwoman breaks free and starts beating up Daggett. A thug grabs her and she bites him and kicks him over the edge into a vat of acid. Alright, fine. The guy gets saved by landing on a pipe. But I do like the fact that Catwoman isn't messing with that stupid I got one rule thing. Batgirl gets grabbed and almost gets thrown over into the acid, but Robin throws a batarang and cuts her ropes. This frees her hands and she knocks the dude out. Catwoman runs after Daggett, who is still carrying that cat statue. Catwoman uses her whip to knock the gun from his hands and then takes the statue from him. As she's putting it away, Daggett grabs like a steel bar or pipe or something and he swings it at Catwoman. She trips him up and Daggett falls over the edge, but gets his foot caught on a chain. Since Catwoman doesn't care, she's going to kill him. She's going to dump him in the acid. Batgirl shows up, and we get the best exchange in this episode, and one of my favorite lines of the series, actually.
Now you know how it feels to look the Grim Reaper in the eye, Daggett. The same way I felt when you pumped me full of your virus. No! If you let him fall, you're no better than he is. Oh, grow up.
Catwoman releases the chain and just drops Daggett. She runs away, and Batgirl quickly grabs the chain, but she can't hold on to him. Then Robin shows up, and they both rescue Daggett. Catwoman runs outside and swings from roof to roof, but Batgirl is right after her. Batgirl catches Catwoman with a bola and ties her up, taking the statue from her.
You were going to keep that statue all along, weren't you?
Of course. Haven't you learned yet that only the strong survive in this game? Okay, I admit it. I was just playing with you at first. But you really impressed me. We make a good team. Together we could pick this town clean. Even Batman wouldn't be a match for us. And the cops are a joke, especially that senile fool, Gordon.
We had a deal, remember? You lost. Give yourself up now.
I like that during the conversation, Batgirl really seemed intrigued by the idea of becoming a criminal with Catwoman. Like, she's all smiling and thinking about it, going like, But as soon as Catwoman insulted Gordon, she turned against it. Batgirl reminds Catwoman of their deal and tells her to give up. At that moment, the cops show up on the roof for some reason. Look, I know that we have the scene where the cops show up, but they showed up to that abandoned Daggett plant. Catwoman swung into another rooftop, so how did they even know they were there? Did, like, Robin tell them? Then why didn't he show up with them? But anyways, the cops show up and Catwoman turns herself in. She tells the cops that Batgirl is innocent of everything. She was only there by coercion. Catwoman gets put into the patrol car as Robin and Batgirl watch her be taken away. Halfway up the block, the two policemen get kicked out of the car and Catwoman is driving the car now.
I said I'd let them take me. But I didn't say how far.
Robin tries to run after her, and Batgirl stops him, saying, "Let it go. There'll be another time." The end. Dude, she stole a cop car and assaulted two cops. I'm pretty sure that's a pretty good reason to go after her. I don't really have any after show notes. As I mentioned, the animation in this is really good. It's really odd. They make, like, really weird faces. It's more cartoony than the other ones. And, I don't know, it just has this cool style. The Joker in the beginning dream sequence looks really weird. I guess you could explain that away as it being a dream. And it's so weird because they don't say anything. Joker, Penguin, Two-Face get punched. Two-Face gets hit and makes zero noise. He does not make a sound. But Joker gets hit and you hear the Mark Hamill voice going like, and then you hear the Penguin voice also make the grunting sounds. And you could tell it's the voice actor's voice. So did they call Mark Hamill into the studio just so that he can record like two or three lines going, It's just really weird. Alright, so let's just move on to the Batcave archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Batcave Archives is the part of the show where we rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 78. If you want to look at the full list, go to Facebook and look for I'm Batman the Podcast, our group. I update the list every week so you can see the rankings there. Where would I rank this episode? This is a really fun episode, and I believe it's one of the episodes that goes under the radar. Not many people remember it, and maybe it's because of the lack of Batman in it. But I think this is a really fun episode. I really like the animation. The voice acting's okay. Just because sometimes, like, they go into so much exposition, it kind of just sounds like somebody reading a paper. But it's pretty good. It's a really fun episode. So I'm probably going to rank this in the above half. So let's look at number 45. We have the episode Harley Quinnade. And that's the episode where Batman teams up with Harley Quinn to stop the Joker after he steals an atomic bomb. And actually, yeah, this episode is kind of really on par with that. I think that episode is fun as well. But this episode is slightly better. Not enough Batman, but I really do like the fact that the spotlight is on Batgirl on this one. It's just, once again, I that's the only way I could really describe it. It's a fun episode. Right above that, we have If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? That's the Riddler episode, his debut. You know what? I like that one better. Yeah, it's a bit goofy and over the top at times, but that's just Riddler for you. I think it has more depth to it than this one. This one's just like a fun adventure. We learn more about Batgirl and her moral character, but not much. Because we've always known Batgirl is good. So this just kind of establishes, oh, she's good. And she's tempted by Catwoman, but she still won't turn to the dark side. But there's never really any temptation there. Like, you never really feel that Batgirl is going to go bad at any point. You always feel she's kind of there just along for the ride and keeping an eye that Catwoman won't do anything bad. So I never feel that there's that danger of Batgirl becoming a bad girl. So, I think that's a good spot for this. So at our new number 45, Batgirl Returns. Alright everybody, that's going to be it for this week. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes, or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. Once again, you can go to Facebook, look for I'm Batman the Podcast, join the group. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, that's capt_marvelous, CAPT_marvelous, and also on Instagram, captain_marvelous. Where I do a lot of posting on the show's episodes and some fun facts. That's really it. There's really not much notes going on. So remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are...
Barbara! Hey, Babs!
We'll be right back.
everybody. Captain Marvel is here, back with the horror movie review. So I am watching 31 horror, scary, or Halloween-themed movies for the month of October. Last week, I ranked... Or, no, I didn't rank. I talked about the first 11 movies I saw. It's actually more because I am watching some bonus ones in there. You know, my first bonus movie was Ghoulies Go to College, so... there's gonna be more than 31, hopefully. But yeah, I'm just reviewing. You can listen to the ending segment of last week's episode if you want to catch up on those. So I'm gonna let you know what I was watching this week. Movie number 12, I saw Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah from 1991. This is not really your typical horror movie, scary movie, but it is a monster movie, so I count it as Halloween themed. It is a fun sci-fi movie. It's about some time travelers that come from the future. They want to save Japan, so they basically eliminate Godzilla from history. But then there's like some fishy things going on, and Godzilla has to come back. That's where I'll leave that at. It's a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. But I don't know. You kind of just have to be a fan of the big like rubber suit type things. But I really enjoyed that one. I recommend it. It's also on YouTube. At number 13, once again, it wasn't a movie, it was a series. This is R.L. Stine's The Haunting Hour from 2011. If you grew up in the 90s, I'm sure you were familiar with the Goosebump books and the Goosebump series on TV. That series was aimed more at children. The Haunting Hour is a little bit older. I wouldn't say it's aimed at adults at all. It's aimed more at, I would say, like preteens, teens. I think it does have a scarier vibe than Goosebumps, and it's not as corny. The special effects have improved significantly since the 90s, so that helps a lot. But yeah, the way the stories are made, it seems for a much older audience. The episodes I saw are one titled Pool Shark, about a boy who thinks he sees a shark in the swimming pool. Brush with Madness, it's about a boy who steals these paintbrushes from his favorite comic book artist, and suddenly his drawings are coming to life. And the last one was called The Perfect Brother, which is about a boy who has a brother who is just perfect in every single way. So there's something creepy going on there. And I do recommend those. Those are on Netflix, so I mean, if you're a fan of Goosebumps, I think you'll like this one. And if not, I said it's aimed at a more older audience, so I do recommend watching these. At number 14, I saw Friday the 13th. Yes, I could have been corny and watched Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th, but I decided to be hip and cool and watch it the day after. So, Friday the 13th from 2009, this is the reboot that a lot of people hate, and I don't know why. I think it's a really good movie. I know a lot of people complain that they made Jason into like this like weird redneck, and he shoots arrows, and he runs now, and he's all like savvy, but I like that. I like Jason, and I don't mind them changing it up a bit, because the way I feel is, if you're going to do a reboot of something, you have to make it different enough where it's a thing that deserves to be made, or at least there's a reason for it to be made. For example, a Rob Zombie Halloween reboot I think is good. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I think it's different enough to make it stand out. This one as well. Then you got movies like Nightmare on Elm Street reboot from whenever year that was, 2012 or whatever. And that one sucks because it's just the same movie. There's no point to it. You updated special effects, really cool practical effects with crappy computer effects that are going to be outdated in a year. There's no point to it. It's the same story. It's the same scenes. So if you're going to make a new movie, make it stand out. Same thing with the Carrie reboot. I really like the original, but then you got the new one, and all you did was just make the actress prettier. Yeah, because I really have a hard time believing that little blonde girl is unpopular and can't get a date. So it's just, you know, if you're going to do something different, do it. And I like the way that this movie, the path it took. At number 15, and I do recommend this one. At number 15... one of my favorite movies. This was the last movie to ever give me nightmares. That's when I was a kid. This movie like scared the hell out of me, but now I love it. And that is Child's Play 3 from 1990-something. I wrote 2015, but obviously Child's Play 3 is not from 2015. It's from like 92 or 93. But Child's Play 3, that's the movie where Chucky is hunting Andy down at the military academy. And it's a really fun movie. I really like Chucky in this one. It's the last movie I feel before the new ones that Chucky was taken seriously as a horror character. And before they went into comedy with Bride of Chucky. But they brought it back with Curse and Cult, and I talked about those last week. I totally recommend this one. At number 16, I saw a Spanish movie called Luna de Miel, translated into Honeymoon, from 2015. This movie is about a guy who kidnaps this girl that he falls in love with. Like, he sees her jogging every day, falls in love with her, kidnaps her and holds her hostage in his basement, forcing her to become his bride. It's a cool movie. It's on Netflix. It's in Spanish with English subtitles for those of you who don't understand Spanish. I have the same problem with this movie as I had with the movie The Pack, where the movie was intriguing up until the ending. I really did not like the ending to this movie. I thought it was dumb. And it's one of those movies where the ending just ruins the experience for me. So this one, I recommend you stay away. At number 17, we have Puppet Master 2 from 1991. And this movie is a cult favorite. A lot of people are fans of the Puppet Master. Not many people are. It's really low budget movie, but I love what they do with what they have. The practical effects, the puppet effects are really good. And the Puppet Master movies as a series are good up until a certain point where they just start getting really cheap, where they're reusing footage from other movies for the kills. And I don't know. I really like this one. Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3 I really like. They're really good. So I recommend this one. This one I bought the DVD. Actually bought the DVD that contains all 9 Puppet Master movies for only like 10 bucks or something. And I bought this a couple of years ago. But this is a movie that I like to revisit from time to time. The puppets are really cool looking. The villain in this is really, really creepy as hell, no matter what shape he takes, because there's 3 forms to him and they're all really creepy and scary. So this one I really, really recommend if you can find it. And that's it for the movies I've seen this week. I still haven't watched my horror movie tonight. I'm gonna watch it right after I finish recording this. So remember, everybody, if there's any movie you'd like me to watch, suggest it. Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and I'll take a look. So, hope to see you guys here next week.